my talk is to the water wave. So let me give you like small plan of the talk. So first of all, I will introduce the problem. Then I will speak about some choice of variables. Then the formulation of the problem. Then fourth part, I will give you a theorem. And last part, I will speak small idea about the proof, and it's just the energy I will use to prove this theorem. So it's energy in Sobolev space. So it's Sobolev space. Okay, so let me start by just recalling what is the water wave problem, but very rapidly. So have a surface. Here we have water, we have a curve, and we take a potential flow. So U is gradient of phi, and so the divergence free condition. So U satisfies incompressible Euler. So this is the divergence free condition. And then we have, I can take into account the gravity. So then here I have a curve, and I have to put some boundary conditions. So there are, I have to put two boundary conditions because the curve is allowed to move. So the first one one over the Weber number, this is the surface tension, and kappa is the curvature. So if I don't take into account surface tension, this will be equal to zero. So assuming that here P is equal to zero. So this is the first condition. And the second condition is that the boundary moves with the fluid, and this can be stated in the following way. 1 u is tangent to, oh, so let me explain what is o. Is just set t at x is in omega of t. So I mean, we have a moving domain called omega t. Okay, I mean, this is like an abstract way of writing a very simple condition. Think of this in the case the domain is fixed. In the case the domain is fixed, say omega t is fixed. This is just saying that u scalar n is equal to zero. Okay, so this is like generalization of that simple condition. Okay. So now, for simplicity, I will assume that I am 2p periodic in the following sense. I will assume that my curve may do things like this. Let's say. Okay. This is my curve. It may do things like this, and this is 0 to pi. So think of this as the x-axis, and this as the y-axis. So now let me go to the second point, is to what is to speak about the choice of variable. So The problem due to this condition, you can recover the velocity just from some information on the curve. So the problem can be reduced just to a problem on the curve. This? This? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll explain it. I mean, I'll get to really use it, but this is just, this vector 1u is tangent to the domain. I don't. Yeah, this is three-dimensional. O is three-dimensional, omega is two-dimensional. These are three components. You have one, two, three. It's a space. O is a space-time domain. Right? This is a space-time domain. Okay, I mean, I'll get to use it, and you'll see how it goes. Okay, so now let me speak about the choice of variable. There are different ways of parameterizing the curve, and since I want to allow it not to be only a function of x, but so I will write it this way. So this is my curve. So alpha is just a parameter. Now, sometimes I will use also complex notations, so sometimes I will write it. So I will not really make the distinction between these things. Now, what does it mean, for instance, here, what does it mean that my curve is 2p periodic? This is just saying that, say, I will assume that alpha is in 0 to pi, and is z of t alpha plus 2 pi. Okay? So when alpha is equal to 0, you are here. When alpha is equal to pi, you are here. When alpha is equal to 4 pi, you are here. I mean, this is just for simplicity to simplify. I'm also taking here the case where I have an infinite bottom, but this is not really... We can deal also with different. Can also deal with different boundary conditions. I think I forget to say that this is joint work with David and Bruce. Yeah, sometimes I forget to say these things. Maybe I'd like to tell you. With a postdoc at Curon. Okay. So, if now I look at the derivative of z with respect to alpha, I can write this as s alpha, where s alpha is the arc length. So this is another way of parameterizing my curve. So instead of using x and y, I can use S and theta. And then I can, if I look at how the curve moves, then I can say that this is plus T tangential. So here, I mean, if you think of your curve, this is t, this is n, this is the angle theta. So if you want, in complex notation, t will be z alpha over s alpha, n will be IV alpha over S alpha.
Okay.
So now, from these two relations, you can deduce an equation for theta t and S alpha t. So I mean, just using the fact that the two derivatives commute. Yeah. Theta is the angle. Theta is the angle. Now this is O. Forget about this notation. I'm not going to use it anymore. Yeah, I mean, this is just the angle. This is the angle the curve makes with the x-axis. What? Here? This is the curve, which is 2 pi periodic. Now I'm speaking about any curve, and then I will explain how the curve moves. So here you have water, and here you have a curve, and the whole problem is reduced really to understanding how the curve moves, right? So, and you need to put two things on the curve. You have to understand how the curve moves, and then you have to put some, and then you have to know how to recover u from the curve, right? So on the curve, I will need two things. I will need the position of the curve. This will be defined by theta and S alpha, and then I will need another quantity on the curve, which is more or less the trace of the potential on the curve, and that will allow me to recover u. So now I'm speaking about how a curve can move. I'm just speaking about the choice of variables. So now you can even forget about this problem. This is really just a problem about curves, about how you can parameterize a curve which moves with time. Right? Okay. I mean, here I'm just speaking about how we are going to choose variables. Because I think one of the big issue here is how to choose good variables to write your system. Okay, so theta t now is equal to this is just you just use that the two derivatives commute and you get this. And this is okay. To know how the curve moves, you have to know what is u and what is t, right? And u and t, you will compute them using, I mean, they will depend on the velocity u here, right? So this condition, 1 u is tangent . This is exactly equivalent to the fact that u scalar n is equal to capital U. And you can see it very, very rapidly. This means that the tangential, that the normal velocity is equal to the normal velocity of the fluid. Okay? The normal velocity of your curve is equal to the normal velocity. The normal velocity of your curve is equal to the normal velocity of the fluid on the interface. However, I mean, t is really free. I mean, there is no condition on t. So now we will choose the parameterization. So here we will make a choice of parameterization such that alpha is arc length. It's renormalized arc length. So we'll choose alpha. Alpha will be renormalized . So what does this mean? This means that I want S alpha. I cannot impose that S alpha is equal to 1, but I can impose that S alpha is constant, which depends only on time. So this is actually bigger or equal to 1. And L is the length of the curve on one period. So L is always bigger than 2 pi. I mean, this you can do for any two-periodic curve. So you take a two-periodic curve. You can compute the length on one period. Then you can introduce this parametrization of your curve. Okay, so this is something one can do for any curve. So the advantage of doing this, is now we have a relation which tells us that T alpha plus LT over 2 pi. So we have a way of computing T knowing U and theta. So now the whole problem is reduced to computing the normal, to getting the normal velocity U. So now I have to put another variable on the curve, which I will call gamma. Gamma has to do with, it's not exactly the trace of phi on the curve, but it's sort of. I don't want to get into all these distinctions, but so the Birkhoff Roth formula will give us U from some quantity gamma which is defined on the curve. So U will be equal W scalar N, where N is my, where W is given by have this formula, which is the Birkhoff-Roth. This is just, the way I see this is just the same as Bayo and Savard, but written for a case where the vorticity is on a curve. So if you know the Bayo and Savard formula, this is just a small generalization of a particular case of that same formula. So I really don't want to spend a lot of time explaining the physics behind this because of time. So I'd rather just give you this, and I want just to explain few reductions about this formula. So it's, notice that here this is a singular integral. So this is a singular, here it's the same quantity. I could have just written this with bar. And the way we are going to use this formula, so I will give you what is a simple way of seeing it. So this is very similar Oh yeah, I have too many eyes, maybe. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Maybe I have to remove this one. So I will make a Taylor expansion of this. Taylor expansion of this, so this will give me the reason I wrote it this way. Maybe the reason I wrote it this way is just because this is how it is written in Bayou and Savart. Of course, in complex variables you have this I, which is just the you can also see it as the orthogonal. If you think of it as vector, you have to take the orthogonal. Okay. So then now you see exactly the Hilbert transform here. And actually you can see that H is very similar to W is very similar to H of gamma n hat. So let me explain, how you can see this. So remember that n is e the alpha over s alpha. Here I think I have to put bar if I want to be precise. So then here, this is exactly and. Where the Hilbert transform is given by this. So when I write this, this means that this is equal to this plus lower order terms. Okay. Yeah, maybe I was a little bit not very clear about that. So now let me get to part number three, which is the reformulation of the problem. So I'm going to introduce a new new unknown, which is the following one. You don't really ask me why we take this, but this turns out to be a good quantity to look at, and this is for some mathematical reason, you can say. In terms of physics, you can think of this as this is the tangential velocity on the curve, and this is really the Lagrangian tangential velocity. And this is the tangential velocity we use to move the curve. So somehow this is the difference between these two things. It will also appear as a mathematical quantity also. So then I have this proposition. If I write my system in terms of theta and delta, then I can rewrite it this way. Usually I look at delta alpha. So theta t will be equal plus lower order terms. I don't want really to say a lot about those things. And this is equal 1 over Weber number. I think we have okay, so I have just to explain what this C, where C is actually a function you can compute of. And C has some physics. I mean, if you make some lengthy computation, you can get to the fact that C is equal to this quantity, which has to do with, I mean, which is a physical quantity you can compute from the fluid. Okay. So let me just explain a little bit how this equation, how we can derive this equation. I mean, I think this is like, this takes a lot of pages of computation. And they want to keep the equation. Sorry? I mean, yeah, written in this system of variables. Yes, I mean, I think it's the same system, but you can write it in different system of variables. But we think that this system of variables is, at least for what we want to do, it's a good system. Yeah, I mean, if you I can say two words why we choose this system of variables. I mean, first, the choice of theta is very one can understand it very easily since we are dealing with surface tension. So surface tension, then we have to introduce the curvature. So the curvature in the theta system, I mean, has to take a derivative. So then if I take arc length parametrization, then this will disappear. This will be like L over 2 pi. And then I have two derivatives of theta. So working with surface tension, you see very easily that arc length is a very good variable. Yeah, but I'm not using this Hamiltonian structure anyway. I think that's your remark at the beginning of the talk, right?
Yeah.
That was your remark about. Yeah, I'm not using the Hamiltonian structure anyway. And then you can delta is really the also delta may you can see it from mathematical point of view. Delta is the transport term here. Okay, so if you think of your system as the system is not strictly hyperbolic, but delta is really the comes like the multiple eigenvalue of your system. If you linearize it, you see that delta is the quantity which comes up. And we'll see that written this way, it's very convenient to do energy estimates. That's the point, I guess. So how do we get this system? First of all, in the literature you can find equations for gamma. So there are, and written in our case, we have some equation for gamma t, which is, I don't know whether I can remember it, but it should look like something like this. So this term is the term which comes from surface tension. So then you have these terms. This term comes from a transport term. This is a transport term. So remember that the instead of taking WT, which would have been maybe a physical choice, we are taking T instead of WT as tangential velocity. Then we have to pay that by transport term here. And then we have another term which is I can give you the expression. It's a long term, or maybe I should. Yeah, maybe it's not necessary. And this term comes with. I mean, there is usually there is a factor in front, which is the outward number. In our case, the outward number is equal to 1. If you are in a vortex sheet case, say you have the same fluid, say here rho is equal to 1, rho is equal to 1, then the outward number would be equal to 0, and this term will not be here. So just think of it as an extra term coming from the fact that here you have rho equal 1, here you have rho equal to 0. But it's a long term, and I don't want to maybe distract you with this length. So then from there, yeah, one of the terms which appear here is this. One of the terms is a term like this, and you see that here you have a time derivative, and so this is not a very good time derivative. So, and written in a gamma, written in the variable delta, somehow this will come into here. So, I mean, this is also another explanation why delta is a good quantity to look at. Yeah, I have 10 minutes, so I have to write the theorem. Okay. So we'll take these are initial conditions which depend so S is big enough. Say S bigger than 6. And such that this will converge to the system S with surface tension has a unique solution which is in the following space. Continuous. Okay, let me. So we want some time of existence which is uniform in the surface tension. So I will say that there exists WE0. project is. There exists T star, so uniform time of existence, such that for all WE bigger than WE zero, okay. Maybe this should come here. I mean, depends whether you want to take initial data for all WE or just for those where things work. Okay. So then this system has a unique solution H sorry. Here I will take theta is in H plus 1, but these are in HS. Okay. I mean, here the convergence takes place only in HS times H1 half. Okay. Meaning that the HS plus 1 norm of theta can go to infinity. That's fine. Has a unique solution here, which is uniformly bounded in have to put log here. HS times HS plus 1/2. So you will see that and converge in this space where theta delta is a solution of the system without surface tension. So you see that with surface tension, theta is in HS plus 1. Without surface tension, theta is in HS. D alpha. D alpha is, yeah, it's derivative with respect to alpha. Yeah. Yeah, I write the derivatives in at least three different ways. So I wanted to give some earlier references about so if I have some time, I just want to show you the energy and then give you some earlier references. So I'll give you the energy. So for the system without surface tension, we'll use sort of energy which is this is H the alpha. So this is like the HK norm of theta. This is like the HK plus 1/2 norm of delta. And with surface tension, we add to this. So this is we add to this so actually you can check very easily, so forgetting about this transport term, because this transport term they don't really they cancel away, they are controlled by the energy. So if you forget about this transport terms, you just think about this and this. So the energy without surface tension is well adapted to these two terms. I mean, when you take the derivative of it, and using these two terms, the higher order term will cancel. And with surface tension, if you add this now, you have coming from this free term, if you take the derivative now of this, the higher order term coming from the surface tension will also cancel. And you see you have 1 over the Weber number here, so this will go to 0 when the surface tension goes to 0. Okay? So let me just, I should just give you some earlier works about this, just to be. So I think some of the references I have are some of the earlier works are due to Nalimov and Yoshihara. This is the case of small initial data, and I think one of the most important results is by Si Zhu Wu, where she proves existence of solution for the 2D and 3D water waves. Actually, what we do here gives another proof of existence for the 2D water waves, which is maybe easier. I don't know. I mean, here it's with her work is really without any condition of smallness. Yes, well, also without surface tension. Yeah. Time is local. Yeah. I think there is something which I didn't say is that C is positive. I mean, think of C as always positive. I mean, I didn't get to explain this really tailored condition, but think of C as positive. So then the use of this arc length parameterization goes back to some numeric works by Hu, Lohengrub, and Chilly. So I think I mean, they used this idea. They saw that this idea of using arc length parameterization is good when surface tension is included. And yeah, maybe I should stop here because the chairman wants me to stop. Okay, thank you.